This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Mourners gathering at the hospital where conservative activist Charlie Kirk was taken after being shot on the campus of Utah Valley University.
I'm here because Charlie Kirk was a good Christian. He loved Jesus. He wanted dialogue. Not civil war.
Utah Governor Spencer Cox calling Kirk's murder a political assassination. The search for the gunman, believed to have taken the shot from an elevated position at least 100 yards away, goes on.
Gunmen in elevated positions is something that keeps law enforcement awake at night, and they know about this problem. The Las Vegas massacre, the Kennedy assassination, the shooting at the Independence Day parade outside of Chicago a couple of years ago. This is not a shocking type of new thing that law enforcement is just dealing with.
ABC News Chief Investigative Reporter Josh Margolin. This is ABC News. International condemnation after Israeli forces attacked those Hamas operatives in Doha, Qatar. Although the IDF says they likely did not succeed in taking out the top leadership of Hamas, IDF Colonel Miri Eisen says what they did was still important.
We're talking about terrorists. I've heard people call them political leadership. These are Hamas terrorists who are not inside the Gaza Strip, who are not inside Judea and Samaria, the West Bank. They are terrorists. They not only call for the destruction of Israel, they were active participants who now sit in Qatar.
Eisen says the Qatar attack isn't unlike what the U.S. did to try to root out Osama bin Laden after 9/11. Later this morning, we get another snapshot on inflation. The government releases consumer price index numbers. Heavy rain flooding streets and halting rail and air traffic in Tokyo. The rain in Pakistan unprecedented. 4,000 villages are submerged underwater. 2 million people have been displaced. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Matt Nair on air.
Mr. Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. This farm bill is supposed to be passed in 2023.
It's really frustrating that they've forgotten about small farmers. We actually pay more taxes than the billionaires do. Why are those tax dollars not coming back to the communities that pay them? Whether it's through the farm bill or it's other programs, we need to make sure that we keep fighting and let them know that we're not happy.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Packers football tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. It's the Packers and the Washington Commanders tonight here at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jaden Daniels named the NFL Rookie of the Year last season. The Packers' Micah Parsons asked what it was like playing against Daniels.
Oh, man, it's hard. He's just one of them guys that, like, contain the whole time. You can power him. He can go through the A and B gaps, get outside of you. It's hard, you know what I mean? And just let him know, you know, it's just got to go out there and play hard.
Baseball, the Brewers losing 6-3 to the Rangers. It's the first time since opening weekend the Brewers lost a three-game sweep this season, and only the third time since Pat Murphy took over as the club's manager.
It stinks. We haven't had too many of these. We haven't had too many of these in our... I know in the last 2 years this is the third time we've been swept, right? Yankees, Phillies, and Yankees on the road, Phillies on the road, Rangers on the road.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog early, otherwise mostly sunny skies to be expected. It'll be warm with highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 53. Even warmer on Friday with mostly sunny skies, a high of 82. 85 on Saturday. It's 58 at our studios.
Todd Alba.
From the assassination of Charlie Kirk to shootings in Colorado, how do we as Wisconsinites take care of our own mental health as we sort through the news? All that and remembering 9/11 next time. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't believe in sex after marriage, Pete Schwabba.
Damn right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba, kicking off Act 2 here on a gorgeous Wednesday night, coming to you live from downtown Green Bay. Heather Heil is my guest. She is in studio. She is the business director of affairs and wears a ton of hats. She's the development director. Yeah. But you do everything over there. So we are going to give Heather a quiz about John Candy in just a moment after a brief recap here. Speaking of John Candy, our question of the night is, what is your favorite John Candy movie? There is a new documentary out about John Candy called I Like Me that Heather told me about a week or two ago, and I'm anxious to see it. It is now out for streaming. But
you can watch it now, and I didn't even know that. So thank you for... that's what I'm going to do when I get home. Dan, get it ready, because that's what we're watching tonight.
You said you cried at the trailer, though.
I was bawling in the trailer. Just because, again, he was such a happy, amazing human who was so sad inside. And I just... Honestly, if you are someone out there who has some sadness, like, just talk to somebody.
But
just
don't
say,
we all?
Hey, yeah.
You can't, like, everybody kind of has some of that, you know? How do you, you know, everybody, I assume, hopefully everybody wants to help other people.
You just got
to
check in and just, you know, we got to just normalize checking in with our people.
Exactly. Very well said. And Conrad, what else did we cover? What do I need to go over? Oh, Ethan Ogilvie will be here at 7:35. Very exciting. I love, he wrote The Threesome, and when he was on the show in April before he had a screening at the Wisconsin Film Festival at the Barrymore Theater, which was packed. That's where I saw it with a crowd. It was great to laugh with everybody. But he told me about a twist, and I didn't see it coming. Even though I knew it was coming,
that.
I still didn't get it. And I'm like, oh, my God, how did I not get this?
Okay.
So I'm not going to do a spoiler, but Ethan will be here. And this is so cool because he wrote this film, got it made, got it into festivals, and it did so well. It's in theaters now, and that doesn't happen very often. So I'm excited for his success. We will talk to Ethan at 7:35. Question of the night, we're good. And we are going to get back to our guest, Heather Heil, here.
Hi.
After I read. See what I did there?
Yeah, I like that. I like that. You're athletic.
I'm quite the athlete. Steve from Florida says, I got to say, Pete and Conrad, every movie or skit that John Candy starred in or was part of is my favorite.
Could
make you cry or laugh. A true natural talent that died way too young.
And I feel like people forget that he had so many cameos. So he might not have like been the star of a movie. But if you think to like, he was in Blues Brothers. Do you remember this?
Oh my God. I have a question about that.
Oh, you do? Okay.
But it's not, well.
Okay, sorry.
I could switch it though. I could switch the question because, but yeah, he was great in that. He's great in, well, I don't want to.
Yeah,
name
okay.
His movies
so we'll like get into our quiz and yeah.
He is fantastic. Lee from De Pere says top three, no order. Cool running.
Yes, Jamaica Mon.
Favorite though. Interestingly. Yeah. I like that.
That was a beautiful movie.
Yeah, it was good. Uncle Buck.
Yep.
Which is probably going to be a runaway winner tonight.
I feel like it's great. I mean, how do you not love Uncle Buck?
And Summer Rental. And then my pal Boris Hamilton on social media also said Summer Rental. And that's the one where John Candy
laid out in the sun and had his arms a certain way and got this funky sunburn. Like,
oh, okay. Yeah, you know what? I haven't seen Summer Rental.
It's funny. Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit, it's not one of his better ones, I don't think, but it's like one of the, it's along the lines of Great Outdoors, vacation right. movie, you know.
Great Outdoors, Planes, Trains, Automobiles.
Absolutely.
Home Alone with our national treasure, Catherine O'Hare. Anytime I can talk about her, I will. I love her.
Did you see
so much
Orange County, the movie? It was a Mike White.
I
think it was the movie that put him on the map.
Was it the one with the book where it was he found the book on the beach and he goes through the summer? Is that the movie?
I don't remember. No, it's about a kid who's trying to get into a college.
Yes. He finds the book.
Finds the book? I don't remember.
He finds a book on the beach and that like starts his journey to like, does he go to college? And yeah.
Colin Hanks is the kid. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, Catherine O'Hara in that is so funny. She's drunk through the whole movie. And nobody does a better drunk than Catherine O'Hara.
Agreed.
In Waiting for Guffman, the scene at the dinner table where the guy's talking about having the penis reduction.
I haven't seen this movie.
Oh, my.
Okay, I'm going to have to because honestly, she is my favorite.
That scene is maybe the funniest she's ever been.
Yeah.
And it's with Fred Willard, who's brilliant. And anyway, you got to check it out.
Okay, all right, that's my homework.
We're about to do this quiz, but I know you have something. You wanted to give me homework.
I do. You have another piece of homework. So on HBO right now, there's a little show called Somebody Somewhere. There are three seasons, very bingeable, and it has Bridget Everett in it, who is a comedian, and she does like a cabaret show in New York, and like Sarah Jessica Parker and like big names love to go and see her. So she just had the show. It's a little vulgar. You're going to want to do it after the kids go to bed if you're going to watch a show, but it's a authentic show with two no-name actors about friendship and family and just figuring life out together. And it's so glorious. And again, they say some dirty words all the time, but they're in context, so it's not just saying the dirty words. But
yeah.
And I loved it so much. Jeff Hiller, who is in it, wrote a book called Actress of a Certain Age that I just read because I just fell in love with him even more.
On the stream, there it is, folks. Yep. Actress of a Certain Age, and that is the source material for, say, the show name.
For Somebody Somewhere. Again, you'll watch the first episode and be like, what am I watching? It's very B-roll. Stay with it. Stay with it.
That's risky when you take a chance like that because people don't stay with stuff.
I know. And I was like, what am I watching?
And
but I'm
the
like,
record.
I love this. And I was laughing and crying and just all of the good emotions things. I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, I would cut you off. I was just saying I'm okay with the dirty words even if they aren't in context. I love a good dirty word.
Of course you would be.
Conrad swears all the time. I don't know. Do your parents know how much you swear?
Yeah, they're the ones who taught me.
You're talking about how your dad's hair is thinning.
Stars.
You might
be
stressing them out with your potty mouth.
I'm kidding.
Craig Anthony Knitt on the stream says, John Candy, he is absolutely wonderful in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes.
But one of my favorite roles is much smaller. I love him as the park official in Vacation.
Right. Yeah, he was. Well, welcome to Wally World, kids.
Moose out front should have told
Sorry,
you.
Sorry, we're closed.
All right, on that note, I think we got to get to this quiz with our guest, Heather Heil from the Green Bay Children's Museum. She is always so much fun when she's here. She alerted me to this John Candy documentary, I Like Me, which I haven't seen yet, but
I haven't seen it either, but I've seen the trailer and was all in, so I'm going to watch it tonight when I get home.
And you cried during a trailer.
During the trailer, because it just was so beautiful. I mean, Steve Martin up here talking about you in such a brilliant way. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
What a
He's
great
very
life.
Sympathetic guy, empathetic guy, whatever you want to say. Yeah. Looked out for his cast members. I love the guy. So, all right, Conrad, I think we got to start this
you ready?
Quiz.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's just naming the movie, right?
Where did I send
I'm
you
naming
the quiz?
Movies?
Where's the quiz?
I think it's in my pile here.
No, you can't have the answers.
Kidding. Teasing. Are you going to play me clips and I have to guess them?
Give me one sec.
Okay. Conrad is printing out.
How about I just give you...
Conrad is a great producer, but he's not perfect. He forgot to print out the quiz, but that gives us more of a chance to talk.
I know. We can talk
about
more
things. We never talk anymore.
I know. I actually texted Pete, just so you know, and said, hey, did we break up? True
story. Because I know.
True story.
Thank you, buddy. Because I said I wanted to have you on the show. I said, how about this date? And you said, okay. And sometimes I just kind of catalog that. And I'm like, oh, great, she's in. And I didn't respond.
And he didn't respond. So then I was like, hey, did we break up? And then I told him to wear something pretty. He said, oh, yeah, I forgot. Sorry.
No. I said we were on a break.
We were on a break. You did.
All right. So we've got a great quiz here. Conrad, so you want to tell me which ones you have you know, audio
I'm
clips
so
for?
Nervous,
because that'll be a little more fun.
Because I'm super competitive, yeah. You guys.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I have all the clips that all the movies that
okay.
you sent me, so we can just...
Let's do that.
Yeah.
We'll do it that way. That'll be more fun.
Okay.
Than me just
from the audio or from a question?
Well...
I have all the audio if you want to do the question
we could just
first.
All right, do the question.
Okay,
do the
and audio. Just for the streamers, like I have his movies just pulled up so like I can see.
So it's not cheating.
So I'm not cheating.
That's
it's
fair.
Just that I can like be like, oh yeah, it was that one.
I don't know if that's not cheating.
Is it cheating?
It's okay. There's no, you're not going to be graded on this. So okay. All right, okay. So here we go. How old was John Candy when he passed away in 1994?
I believe he was 50. 51? 50?
Is 50. That your final answer?
Final answer, 50.
43.
What?
He was born in 1950, died in 1994.
Okay,
he
1950, that's what I was thinking. I was
Isn't
like 50.
Crazy?
Yeah. 43, that's way too young.
I thought he died like in 2010. I didn't realize he's been gone for like 30 years.
Yeah.
That is insanity.
Yeah.
All right, you're 0 for 1, but I like your chances moving forward.
Okay, right. I know. I'm not doing good, guys.
What comedy classic? Do you have this one, Con? You have a clip? All right.
I do.
Okay.
Let's hear it. I'm going to read. Let me read this and then play the clip. What comedy classic by Mel Brooks did John Candy play a mog named Barf? Go ahead, Con.
What was that? Never mind that. What was that?
Hi.
Who are you?
Barf.
Not me, mister. This is a Mercedes.
Nah, that's my name. Barf.
Barf? What are you?
I'm a mog. Half man, half dog. I'm my own best friend.
What do you want?
Your father hired Captain Lone Star and me to save you. Come on, we gotta hop up this ladder and get out of here.
Gordon, quick. Hurry, darling. Follow the dog.
Mog. I'm a mog.
What is Spaceballs?
Whoa! Oh,
yes!
I like that.
Yeah.
I like the victory sound.
Okay.
All right, so you're a plus one. One for two. Did you know that right away before you heard the
clip?
Yeah,
I did.
Okay, nice.
When
I
you said
that.
Mog.
I'm
yeah.
my own best friend. Let's just... She's going to get all these.
I don't know that I will.
Just say the question on this one, I
all
think,
right.
And it should be good.
What movie did Candy star in about a Jamaican bobsled team in 1993?
Cool Runnings.
Yeah.
Yes, because we just talked about that.
I know. We talked about
Lee
all these.
Lee from DePere. That was his, right? Lee? Lee from DePere?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. He snuck in Cool Runnings there.
I know.
All right, I have to figure out how I'm going to read this one. Okay. In what 1980 film did Candy's character order an orange whip?
Orange whip, orange whip, orange whip. That would be the Blues Brothers.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
Yes!
He wants to watch them play.
I know.
Come on, relax. I've never seen these guys play. It's
such
beautiful.
A great character. Oh, okay.
So great.
Okay.
All right. Let's keep moving here. We got, in what holiday classic was John Candy a member of the Kenosha Kickers polka band?
That would be Home Alone. His name was Gus, and I want that jacket.
All right. Fair enough.
Gus Polinski?
There's a chance for bonus points here.
Okay.
For bonus points, how many copies did the Kenosha Kickers' biggest hit sell, and what was the name of the song?
That I do not know.
Con,
I know
do you have a
F
clip?
Minus.
I do. We'd have to play a next segment.
Okay, that's fine. So
shoot. No.
Let me tell you.
Five?
Okay. They sold 623 copies. The song was Polka Polka.
And in Sheboygan.
Sheboygan's yes, Polka Polka Polka.
Polka.
Sorry,
polka.
I let you down out there.
Well, you got the question polka, right. That polka. Was just bonus.
Yeah.
And I love that he says, maybe you heard of him, Polka Polka yeah. Polka.
Like Catherine O'Hare's like, no.
It's just three words and it's just polka. Oh, so gorgeous.
Oh, thank you
all right,
for the memories,
do we have
John.
Time for one more question if we don't use video, Con?
Yeah.
Here's a good one.
Okay.
Name a movie John Candy starred in with Tom Hanks. There were two of them. Ooh.
Oh.
I can, why don't we say, I can
yeah,
play
you
a,
got
clip.
A clip.
Yeah, give me a minute.
Okay, we'll do that.
I'll need
we're
a
gonna,
clip.
We're going to do a quick break. We're going to come back and play a clip. How long is the clip? We got to wait till after the break, Con?
Yes.
Okay. We will play the clip after the break. We're going to keep this on the up and up. And Heather Heil is doing very well. So we're going to come back after a very short break and continue our John Candy quiz.
Thinking.
Where else are we going to have a John Candy quiz on the radio? The Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it feels like love. There's a heart.
Eagle, 1490 AM. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The author of Bowling Alone says, let's foster new forms of electronic entertainment and communication that reinforce community engagement. Well, that's civic media. That's Up North News, trying to get more of us off the couch, give you good information while you are listening, but then to step up, get out there into your community, and bring a friend to the voting booth.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Your local civic media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is Lance Barber, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabbles.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me here at Nightlight tonight, folks. Conrad Krieger working the board. Heather Heil sitting to my left. Stage left?
Yes.
Yeah. Taking our John Candy quiz. Heather is the Director of Business Development at the Green Bay Children's Museum. They have some really outstanding events coming up, including a Beyond the Forest, Beyond the Enchanted Forest.
Yep, adult fundraiser coming up on October 3rd. We have some stuff for the kids. We have some Halloween parties. We have Breakfast with Santa. We have Worldwide Day of Play, which is in conjunction with Nickelodeon. So just some really big, fun things
And the
happening.
Lobby's going to look like an enchanted forest.
It will.
I've never been in an enchanted forest.
Oh,
I've never
you will.
Been enchanted, and I've rarely been to a
yes.
forest. Mm-hmm. So this sounds like the event for me.
I got you.
John Kelly and the Fusion Express Orchestra mm-hmm. December 4th and Breakfast with Santa December 3rd. Get your tickets fast. They are going quickly. So right now, though, we own you, and you are owning this John Candy quiz. And we have, before we went to the break, I read the question, and you didn't think you knew. Conrad said, I have a clip.
Okay. Yeah.
The question was, name a movie John Candy starred in with Tom Hanks. There are two of them, and Conrad is going to play one of those
okay.
clips now.
What's with her?
Oh, she had a little accident over the weekend. Got hit in the head by some lightning. And it's not funny, Freddy. It's not funny.
I'm sorry. That's not funny. That's not funny.
Besides, she's okay. She can still do certain things around the office.
Like what? Jumpstart a car?
That laugh.
Jumpstart a car.
Any guesses?
I don't remember that, but I feel like it was Daryl Hannah in this movie.
Yes.
Is this Splash?
Follow Your Instincts, yes.
Really?
Correct, Conrad? Yeah.
And I know Tom Hanks was in there, but I'm going to have to rewatch that and know that. What was the other one?
Volunteers.
Oh, I've never seen that movie either.
I don't think I've ever seen, or if I did, it was on cable.
Volunteers. $1,000.
Yeah. Okay. All right, moving on. Another question here.
Oh,
in
more.
What movie was John Candy shot with a BB gun by Chevy Chase?
That wasn't Wally World. Yeah, was it Wally World? It was Vacation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, you made
kids,
me nervous there.
Closed.
Remember, he says you couldn't even break the skin with that clock. Know, he could break the skin and cause a very
yes.
bad infection.
I went to Home Alone and I was like, no, he didn't get shot. Joe Pesci got shot.
Oh, right. Right.
So I was, what?
All right, Con, you got a clip for this next one?
Yeah, I do.
All right, one of my favorite movies. In what film did John Candy play the character Dewey Oxberger?
Oh, you got the clip?
Let's
I know what
clip.
It is before the clip.
This is a genius clip.
My name's Dewey Oxberger. My friends call me Ox. You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do. I went to this doctor, and well, he told me I swallowed a lot of aggression, along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas. I'm basically a shy person. I'm a shy guy, and he suggested taking one of these aggression training courses. You know, these aggressive training courses like EST, those type of things. Anyway, it cost $400. $400 to join this thing. Well, I didn't have the money. And I thought to myself, join the army. It's free. So I figured, while I'm here, I'll lose a few pounds. And you got what, a 6 to 8 week training program here? A real tough one? Which is perfect for me. I'm gonna walk out of here a lean, mean, fighting machine.
It is. You can hear Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
Great thinking, Ox. Great
yeah. Such a classic. It would be Stripes.
Yes!
Yeah!
That is awesome. My favorite line in that movie, though, was Harold Ramis' line. He said, I've always been kind of a pacifist. So, but I just want you guys to know, if we ever see serious combat, I'm going to be right there behind you guys.
Yeah, you will be. Mm-hmm.
All right, we are zipping through here. We got time probably for a couple more here. In this classic movie, John Candy is trying to help Steve Martin's character get home for thanks.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Boom. All right.
Great movie.
One of my,
it's really
in my top five.
Yeah. It's like, do you watch it at Christmas every year?
Every year.
Yeah, same.
I try to do it Thanksgiving, but at some point. It's a perfect movie. Funny, heartwarming, but not cheesy. Great music. Beautiful scenery. It's just amazing. All right. In this summer classic that will make every Wisconsinite think of Up North, John Candy stars opposite Dan Aykroyd.
What is The Great Outdoors?
Yes. Oh, man. Look at all these plus ones.
I know.
Yes. It's got a lot of plus ones there, folks. We are
winning. Little Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen. She's crushing it. All right. We're doing great. We got three more questions.
Oh, gosh.
In this John Candy classic, he made huge pancakes. Con?
This is where you separate the men from the boys.
Yeah, you do.
There you go.
Shit. I got you now.
Happy birthday! I hope you're hungry. You should see that toast. I couldn't even get it through the door.
I feel like that was improv. Like, he totally improv that. Like,
maybe.
That. I feel like that
That's
was just
my,
something he said.
My buddy Mike Schmidt's favorite line, and our pal JB Thompson, the guy behind the guy, Con?
Behind the guy.
Behind the guy.
Behind the guy.
He said, Uncle Buck, you should see the French toast.
Yep.
All right. Very well done. All right. We've got two more. I think we can get them both in here if we hurry. Name two other cast members that share the stage with John Candy at Second City in Toronto.
Oh, I'm not going to be Dan Aykroyd and
no.
We
mentioned
John Belushi,
the woman you just mentioned before,
Catherine O'Hara.
Yes,
and
we'll count that one. Eugene Levy, Martin Short,
okay.
Andrea Martin.
Oh yeah, I mean obviously.
Finally, for Heather Heil, what is your favorite John Candy movie?
Oh, just one, probably Home Alone.
Home Alone. Very
I know.
Nice.
Again, Catherine O'Hara.
I love it. You crushed this. I think you only missed one. Outstanding work up top.
Thank you for humoring me tonight and talking about the John Candy documentary that I haven't watched.
You motivate us to
get it done.
To make
get
new
out
quizzes.
There. Watch the things.
Heather Heil, ladies and gentlemen, she is headed back to the museum right now because you're.
I am.
That's how much
I gotta
you work.
Go work.
We'll do it again. I hope you'll come back.
Always.
It's always fun.
Yes.
All right,
thank
Heather
you,
Heil.
Pete.
Coming up next after the news. Ethan Ogilvie, the writer of the hit new movie The Threesome. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Say anybody.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Mourners gathering at the hospital where conservative activist Charlie Kirk was taken after being shot on the campus of Utah Valley University.
I'm here because Charlie Kirk was a good Christian. He loved Jesus. He wanted dialogue, not civil war.
Utah Governor Spencer Cox calling Kirk's murder a political assassination. The search for the gunman, believed to have taken the shot from an elevated position at least 100 yards away, goes on.
Gunmen in elevated positions is something that keeps law enforcement awake at night, and they know about this problem. The Las Vegas massacre, the Kennedy assassination, the shooting at the Independence Day parade outside of Chicago a couple of years ago. This is not a shocking type of new thing that law enforcement is just dealing with.
ABC News Chief Investigative Reporter Josh Margolin. This is ABC News.
Packers football tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. It's the Packers and the Washington Commanders tonight here at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jaden Daniels named the NFL Rookie of the Year last season. The Packers' Micah Parsons asked what it was like playing against Daniels.
Oh, man, it's hard. He's just one of them guys that, like, contain the whole time. You can power him. He can go through the A and B gaps, get outside of you. It's hard, you know what I mean? And just let him know, you know, it's just got to go out there and play hard.
Baseball, the Brewers losing 6-3 to the Rangers. It's the first time since opening weekend the Brewers lost a three-game sweep this season, and only the third time since Pat Murphy took over as the club's manager.
It stinks. We haven't had too many of these. We haven't had too many of these in our... I know in the last 2 years this is the third time we've been swept, right? Yankees, Phillies, and Yankees on their own, Phillies on the road, Rangers on the road.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives star and founder of the soft swinging group on TikTok called Mom Talk will be the new bachelorette. Taylor Frankie Paul will have her pick of men on national television. But be careful, attention-seeking hot guys, because she is no stranger to scandal. Paul, the mother of two, confessed that she and other couples in the community were soft swingers, meaning she and her husband regularly made out with other couples. Once you get a look at Taylor Frankie Paul, you'll realize why all the other husbands wanted a French kisser. In addition to two hot first names, she has perfect eyebrows. According to the New York Post, the soft swinging resulted in a pregnancy for Paul by another husband. That must have been some kiss. Beware though, Bachelor, she was also charged with a third-degree felony for throwing something at her first husband that accidentally hit her child. Don't worry, the charges were dismissed, paving the way for Paul to choose another potential baby daddy on national TV. I think I'm in love. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog early, otherwise mostly sunny skies to be expected. It'll be warm with highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 53. Even warmer on Friday with mostly sunny skies, a high of 82, 85 on Saturday. Right now, it's 57.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Mr. Pat Kreitlow joins us from Lake Wissota.
Everything that I know about high culture, everything I know about opera, for example, comes from Bugs Bunny cartoon. The kids are missing out these days. They got Bluey and all of that.
Well, now it's all like
real. We had coyotes falling off of cliffs. Come on.
Exactly. And now it's all this educational crap.
We really have just become the two old men rocking on the porch talking about days gone by.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, Brian Kennedy, mayor of Glendale and national president of Democratic Municipal Officials, on getting yourself trained to run for local office.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night, folks. Coming to you live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. And places beyond over the app and stream. Heather Heil just took our John Candy quiz. Check out the new John Candy documentary, I Like Me. I have not seen it yet, but boy, that was fun. And what better Hollywood person could you take a quiz about? Very exciting stuff. All right. We're going to turn from John Candy to, we're still going to delve into comedy here because my next guest is the writer of the hit new film, The Threesome. This is a film that started as an independent film, made the festival rounds, and crushed it at festivals. And then the ultimate happened. It got a wide theater release, which is almost unheard of, but very exciting. And I'm very excited to have the author, or the scribe, as they say in Hollywood, of The Threesome, Mr. Ethan Ogilby. Hey, buddy.
Hi, how are you?
Doing very well. It's great to have you back. Sorry, what's that, Ethan?
I said it's such an honor to be back for a second time.
Oh, well, the honor is all ours. Thank you so much. This is exciting, and I could not have wished for better things from you because you had this great screening coming up at the Barrymore in Madison in April. I saw it with a packed house. Just love the movie. And here you are months later, and your movie is in wide release in theaters. How does that feel?
It feels great. It feels anytime I can take a step back and just look at the whole journey, get some good perspective on it, it really is satisfying in a very deep way. Like, this is a script that I started working on 10 years ago.
So the fact that
after a full decade, I can actually go see it in a theater with my friends at, you know, an AMC is a real treat. So I'm very grateful about how it turned out, about the journey the film has been on, and yeah, it's been a very fun experience.
That's so great. Hey, I think we're having a little technical issue. Should we call him, Khan? Can we give you a call on the phone, Ethan? Or maybe... oh, something just happened there. Maybe the microphone was covered up or something.
Oh, that's possible. Is that any better?
What do you think, Con?
If you could just send me your number in the StreamYard chat, then I could give you a call right away.
Yeah, maybe we'll just play it safe here. You can stay on the stream, though, Ethan. We can still see each other, but if you don't mind, we'll just give you a call. So Ethan was just basically saying it was the dream of a lifetime, and now he can go see a movie that took him 10 years from the time he sat down to write it to get it made, and now it's in theaters, and that's got to be very exciting, folks. If you haven't seen it yet, or if you're unaware of it, check your local listings around theaters. I know it was playing in Green Bay. I'm sure it's in Milwaukee and Madison. It's called The Threesome, and it's a great film. It's funny, thoughtful characters, and a twist you will not see coming, even though I'm telling you there's a twist. So we will get Ethan on the phone and continue our interview with Ethan. Tomorrow night on the show, folks, we will make the popcorn pick of the week. It's Thursday. And we will also have a guitarist for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Al Petrelli will be here tomorrow night at 7:35. So that's another fun night here at Nightlight. And plenty of chances for you to weigh in. Conrad will not be here. He will be at the Packer game. But we will push on with our pal Amanda Nimmer, who is always fun to work with as well. Okay, we have Ethan now, I believe, on the phone. Are you there, buddy?
Okay, I'm here. I'm back.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay, well, it's great to have you. I was just kind of summarizing what you said because I heard it pretty clear, just that it took 10 years. Is that true?
You know, I guess I haven't gotten to tell the full story much, but I did finish a draft about 10 years ago, and it actually was with another producer for a time, and we just couldn't get it financed. He was trying to do it for like $1 million, and I think we got about 2/3 of the way there and just couldn't take it home. And then I just sort of sat on it for a while. It wasn't like I've been actively working on it the full 10 years, but when my partner and I, my wife and I, wrote a pilot, that got us repped at CAA with a TV agent. And then I asked my TV agents, like, hey, is there anybody on the film side that we could give this script to? It's been sitting on a shelf. And then when my film agent, Anna Jinks, got it, she hooked it up with the Starthor producers, Tim and Trevor White. And that's when things really got going. And then it was only 5 years after that that the movie made it to theaters.
Isn't that crazy how long? And that's the one thing about, like, with feature films, they just take, they take long to write, they take long to rewrite. And then I remember I co-wrote a film called A Guy Thing. And I remember the first day the producer said, we're going to fast track this. I'm like, great. I needed the money.
Yep.
And he goes, we're thinking 5 years. I'm like, that's a fast track. So whatever, they ruined it anyway, but it doesn't matter. But this film, Ethan, is just, you told me there was a twist in it when you were here last time and you didn't want to give it away and I didn't want you to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there with all these people in this theater and I still didn't see it coming. So well done on that front as well. But talk a little bit about how was it when you set out to write it, what I love about your characters, the characters come from different backgrounds. They have different opinions on various things, but they're also thoughtful. Was it like that the minute you finished the script, or did you get notes, or is that just how you write?
I would like to say that that quality of it has been there since the very beginning, that there was never a version where anybody has ill intentions or is actively trying to harm anybody else. There's no scheming or anything. That everybody's... No one's trying to hurt anybody else, and yet they're constantly hurting each other because they've just entered into this situation that is so complicated and the stakes are so high and everything's so loaded and the emotions are so strong. So, you know, it's been really interesting as people start to watch the film that people have, you know, the three major characters. Sometimes people, you know, all three can be different people's favorites. All three can be people's least favorites. Like sometimes, you know, the lead gal in particular, some people like really end up rooting against her. She takes it a little too far. I love her personally, but
yeah.
Yes, I do. I would like to think, and I think it's gotten better as different producers have weighed in. And then as our director, Chad Hartigan, got his hands in the material. But I'd like to think that that's always been a goal of the project, is that it's a three hander where everybody's just doing their best and yet things keep going south.
To me personally, I think that's the mark of a really solid film, is when you maybe don't like someone, but you also still sympathize with them in some way, or you can relate to what they're doing. And all these characters, you know, to me, it's like kind of an edgy film, even though you're rooting for everybody. Like you've really accomplished something in my mind here that is really admirable, because it's just a feel good film, but there are serious stakes involved in the film.
Yeah, that's what we were going for. I will say, I remember running into you after the screening in Wisconsin, and you were so fired up about the twist, and that was such a delight to see you. I mean, the whole experience was great. I'm like a Wisconsin Film Festival fan forever now. I couldn't believe how many people they turn out for these screenings. Like, you know, ours in particular, like it was almost as big as our South by Southwest premiere. And that was just such a blast. So I hope there's another film I can come back with, because it is such a great time.
Yeah.
And I'm glad the crowd for the most part responded really well to it. It's a film that I love watching with crowds, because not just because of the laughs, but because of the two twists that nobody sees coming. Like, I love hearing the gasps and like the murmurs, the ripples that go through the crowd as people like kind of can't believe what just happened.
My guest is Ethan Ogilby. He is the writer of The Threesome, which you can catch in theaters right now. It is a very critically acclaimed film. It had a great festival run, and now it is out there. So check it out, folks. Ethan is joining me over the stream and over the phone tonight. We have a few more minutes with him. How do you write, Ethan? Do you write every day, or do you write when the mood catches you? Do you have a place you go in your house to write? What is your process like?
Well, it's changed a lot since I had kids, and it is a funny sort of life imitates art that the movie's about a young man who essentially ends up with twins, and then my partner and I had twins. they just turned four, so it has been a lot harder of late to find that perfect, undisturbed, the mood is striking me, the candles are lit kind of moment. But I just sort of have to force myself to write anywhere, anytime, whenever there's a spare half hour or hour, or after everybody's gone to bed and I'm tired, but I'm trying to push through it.
Yeah.
But I used to be much more precious about it when I was younger, but now I really treat it more like a job, and I just have to get to work whenever I can. And I think it also helps that the way I write is very fluid, that I will write a scene knowing that it's not going to stay that way. It's not perfect. Most of the lines are going to change. And then I sort of go over it again and again and again, rewriting it until eventually it's like formed into something that I can live with. But I really need to like see it in front of me to get a sense of how well it's working. And that's, you know, same thing with the whole story, that I wish I was the kind of person that I write it all on note cards, and then the note cards are the structure and they don't change, and I can envision the whole thing before I even write it, but I'm just not like that. But I really have to be writing it over and over again to hopefully get in there and get a sense of how things are flowing and how things are playing.
How do you deal with writer's block? I've talked to many, I love talking to writers, but there's different ways. Do you plow through? Do you just accept the laziness and hope to be inspired? Do you look for a muse? What is your process in dealing with writer's block?
It's a tough one. And I think I do get stuck. You know, this movie is a good example of, and I'm not sure if this is necessarily writer's block, but where you're stuck on something, you just quite can't nail it. And the beginning of this movie was actually something that's always been tough. It's changed a lot through different, you know, the first couple scenes have been so many different things and changed so many different times. And I don't know, I wish I had some great advice, but like sometimes going on a walk honestly helps, just get out, getting away from the laptop. I do have a mind that tends to always kind of be thinking about what I'm writing. So even if I'm making dinner or sometimes watching something else, or obviously in the shower, like I do feel like my in the back of my mind, I'm sort of tinkering with it. So sometimes that helps, just to, you know, not be beating my head against the wall. Like I have to figure this out right now, that I try and let go a little more, and hopefully the unconscious mind does a little work for me. But I don't know, if I knew how to beat that, I'd probably be a much more successful writer.
I think you're doing okay. Do you have have you found that like your agency with the success of The Threesome, do the people around you want you to write more in this genre? Are they saying this is your thing now? People are going to look for the next thing from you. It's got to be in this genre. And how do you respond to that? Or are you just like, I'm writing whatever I want to write?
The follow-up that I'm almost done with another romantic comedy that I think is a little different than this. It's a little more, I think it's a little more commercial, maybe a little more of a studio bent, but honestly, in watching The Threesome so many times and getting to see how people respond to it, I'm really also trying not to lose the voice of The Threesome, that I do want to have, like, you know, that's one thing I would like to believe, is that The Threesome does have a distinct voice in the writing. And I want to make sure that even if that's in a slightly more commercial studio vehicle, and again, like no studios have bought this yet. I'm writing this all on spec.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that even in a format that's a little more commercial, that my voice remains intact and I'm not like trying to do something completely new. Beyond that, I don't know. Like I want to write a lot of different things. I have a lot of different interests, and if you watch The Threesome, you won't be surprised to know that I also like drama. I like when things get very dramatic. The characters in this movie get very sad at times because things are very hard for them. And I do want to explore a bunch of different genres. But I imagine for the near future, I'll probably end up staying roughly in the comedy, if not even like romantic comedy space. But
let's pick up right there.
Lots of different things.
We have to do a very short break, and we'll have a couple more minutes with Ethan when we come back on Nightlight. I caught up
with a pastime. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let's go, Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a 4-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday.
On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government
buy-in for the people. Did the dog catch the car? We have election denier legal trouble involving voting dogs, former election officials claiming they're political prisoners, and 2020 fake electors who claim they didn't know what they were doing was wrong. A Costa Mesa, California woman trying to demonstrate mail-in voter fraud was arraigned September 9th for fraudulently registering her dog Maya to vote, then casting a mail ballot in two elections in 2022. Laura Lee Urich self-reported her scheme in 2024 and posted a picture of Maya with an I voted sticker. She faces up to 6 years in prison. Bridge, Michigan reports that a circuit court judge dismissed felony charges against Michigan's 15 GOP fake electors September 2nd. The judge ruled the state failed to prove the electors knew that signing and sending the alternative slate of electors to the U.S. Senate was illegal. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel has not ruled out an appeal. Colorado Newsline reports that Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters, convicted by a jury of four felonies relating to the tampering of her county's election machines, filed a federal habeas corpus claim asking to be released on bond pending appeal. Her attorney calls Peters a political prisoner. The state argues the federal government doesn't have jurisdiction and the case should be dismissed. We have links to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Peach Wama. Great to have you with me. We are winding down this show. We've got a couple more minutes with our guest, Ethan Ogilby. He is the writer of the great romantic comedy, The Threesome, which you can catch in theaters right now. Ethan, what was the biggest challenge in getting this all the way from start to the theaters, and what was the most rewarding part of the process?
The biggest challenge, certainly, it took us a while to get the cast in place, that we kept sort of having this thing of like, we would get one of the roles in place, and it was happening over a long period of time, that it was during COVID and then there were the strikes. But we would get like half the cast in place and be almost there, and then that person would drop out, and then we get, you know, like, I felt like we were almost running out of people to go out to for a second there. But I feel like we found our leads at like exactly the right times to come in and save the movie. And, you know, I just couldn't be more happy with the people we got. You know, I feel like there's like an adage about like the film, you know, I'm going to get it wrong, but like something about getting, you end up with the right people, the people you deserve, something like that. So I'm so happy that the like circuitous journey that it took to cast the film, that we ended up with who we did. But that's so much of what the financing, from my experience, it's so much of what getting a film financed is about, is having cast with enough juice to get you a few million bucks to sell a few foreign territories before you shoot, that kind of thing. So that was harrowing at times. There were a few moments when I was like, oh no, it's not going to happen. And I think the most rewarding part, I think definitely I have to say that the highlight was the very first screening at South by Southwest, because I think that was the time when no one knew what was going to happen. It was all sort of up in the air of, I hadn't even seen the final cut. I didn't know how people were going to respond to it. I didn't know what the, you know, audience was going to be like, what the critical response was going to be. And pretty early on, I was surprised how much people were laughing, and people were missing lines because they were still laughing at the joke before that.
Wow.
And that was just a really, it was a really thrilling day. So even though I had an amazing time at Wisconsin, or our premiere last week was really fun, it's more of a known quantity at that point, and you've sort of settled into what the fate of the film is going to be. Whereas when at our first screening at South by Southwest, I just sort of had no idea which way it was going to go, and it was such a pleasant surprise. And like at our party afterward, I feel like everyone was just so giddy because everyone was so excited that it went this well, and we weren't sure what was going to happen because, you know, you never know what's going to happen when you take something out into the world for the first time. So, you know, maybe the director who'd done more test screenings and really like sunk his teeth into it more was much more confident going in, but like, I didn't know it was going to happen. And it was just, it was a great day. It was really something all. And because it was my first film, like, I feel like it's going to be tough to kind of ever top that, just because the stakes and the uncertainty and then it going so well was quite a day. Pretty unforgettable.
Very well said, and a very thoughtful answer, which does not surprise me after seeing your work. So that's great. We have about a minute left. I just want to ask you, what have you seen? Mm-hmm. Like, what have you seen in the theaters that got you excited in the last few weeks or over the summer?
You know what movie I would love to plug? And it was, the only reason I heard about it was because it was at the Annapolis Film Festival with us, and it played at Sundance first, but The Ballad of Wallace Island is an independent film, and Sony Pictures Classics released it. And my wife and I were looking for a movie, and it was playing in a theater near us. It was a movie we didn't know anything about. So it was like 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I just thought it was like the funniest, most charming film I'd seen in quite a while. And I watched it again since then. I don't have time to watch as many movies as I like. So the fact that it got a second viewing before the year is even up, like, I just thought it was fantastic. And I was charmed from moment one to the very end. And, you know, I felt the camaraderie of another independent film. This one, I think, did a little better than ours, but it was such a great film, and I've been recommending it to anyone who will listen.
Well, Ethan, thanks for sticking with us through the tech issues. Good luck with the new spec and enjoy this ride. It's so great. And I'm thrilled for you, and it's great catching up on the show. Hope to have you back sometime.
Yes,
talking
you
about
so
your
much
next
for
film.
Having me back.
Yeah.
And thank you for being a champion for the film and saying such nice things about it. I had to laugh when you called it a hit film because I don't think we can quite quite go that far, but I really do appreciate the support.
You got it. Anytime, buddy. Have a great night, and
write like
the wind. You got it.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Ethan Ogilvie. And it is a hit. I mean, you start with a script, it becomes a festival darling, and then it gets into theaters. I mean, it's not maybe going to make what Titanic made, but that's a huge victory and great stuff for what a guy who seems like a really good guy and a very talented writer, Ethan Ogilvie. Check out the threesome. You going to see it, Con?
Yeah.
You said you thought you knew what the twist was, so don't say it.
I'm not going to. I think I know it. I haven't seen it yet. I want to go see it. It's in some theaters in Green Bay right now. So
yeah.
I might check it out tomorrow because, you know, I got some time before the game.
Right. You can switch gears a little bit. Get yourself see a nice romantic comedy before you go watch those meatheads bang.
Exactly. Perfect day right there.
It's what's funny is I did not know. I saw with Greg Liana, my partner, who was there for his Meet the Parents thing. They showed his film and I hosted the Q&A. And Greg and I are watching the movie and I'm going, what's the twist? And he's like, I don't know. And when it happens, you go, how did I not see that coming? But you still don't. So anyway. All right. Tomorrow night, folks, join us. It's the Popcorn Pick of the Week at 6:35. And then Al Petrelli from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra will be here to talk about their upcoming shows. He's the band's guitarist and a really fun interview. And we will be back tomorrow night to do this all again. One more comment about John Candy movies. Dave watching on X says, Stripes. You can't. They're all good, right?
Stripes is fantastic.
Candy.
But I think Uncle Buck. I think Uncle Buck won.
It beat Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
I think so.
That's not right. But it's John Candy. I'm not going to argue. All right, folks. We're coming back tomorrow. Hope you have a great night. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin. Tonight.
sky above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. There's an urgent search underway for whoever shot and killed conservative activist Charlie Kirk as he rallied young voters on the campus of Utah Valley University. ABC Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
Authorities are canvassing for surveillance footage, talking to witnesses about what they saw, asking for any video they may have recorded.
Those who were nearby saw Kirk fall to the ground after that single shot rang out.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to describe it again, but it was pretty traumatizing, pretty terrible. What happened? Just an overall sad situation.
Kirk shot once in the neck, his killing described as an assassination by Utah's governor. House Speaker Mike Johnson on the increase in threats nationwide.
We need every political figure, we need everyone who has a platform to say this loudly and clearly. We can settle disagreements and disputes in a civil manner, and political violence must be called out, and it has to stop.
This is ABC News.